Hey, welcome to the Vineyard, everybody. Welcome to those of you joining us online. Wherever you're watching from, whatever room you're watching from, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. Just want to speak to those of you joining us online for just a moment that at the end of our service today, we're going to be taking communion together in this room and with you online, part of our family. And so look, if you're online, you might want to find a cracker, find a piece of bread, find some juice, a cafecito, whatever you want. And you can join us in communion as we all participate in communion together at the end of the service today. So, how many of you are excited that we're in 2021? Anybody? Yeah, I think that I've never seen more people excited about starting a new year than this year. I mean, this has been, you know, last year was one crazy year. And you know, it seems like beginning of every year, people, there's always a little bit of a transition between the new year and old year and the new year. And you know, when you're making an assignment or you're writing a check or paying a bill, it's almost like it takes a couple of weeks before you stop writing last year's date, like 2020. But not this year. Nobody's writing 2020. Everybody's on 2021, like no issues, no problems. And personally, I'm excited about this year. Even with the events we saw unfold in Washington, D.C. this past week, I'm still excited for this year, and here's why. Because God is faithful. And God is on the throne. And as long as God is on the throne, I'm very excited about what's going to happen this year with you, with me, with us, with all of us, because God's got this. God's got this year. And I'm excited what God's going to do this year, what he's going to do in your life, in my life, in our life. And I'm excited also about the series that we're kicking off beginning this weekend called 23andMe. Now, 23andMe is not a series about DNA testing. 23andMe is a series on the 23rd Psalm, 23andMe. And Psalm 23 is such an incredible chapter in the Bible because it's all about God's faithfulness to you. God's goodness to you and to me. And so I can't wait to unpack this Psalm 23 as we get going here in this new series. And Psalm 23 starts out this way. The Lord is my shepherd. And look, even if you've never been to church before, even if you've never cracked open a Bible before, I'm telling you, you probably heard Psalm 23. Here's why. If you've ever been to a funeral service, ever been to a memorial service, ever been to a celebration of life service, even if you haven't been in person, you've seen them on movies, you've seen them on Netflix, and almost always you hear this psalm being read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But listen, Psalm 23 is not a psalm for the dead. Psalm 23 is a psalm for the living. It's a psalm for you, and it's a psalm for me. And as I said, it's all about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And if we need anything right now, we need to continue to remind ourselves about the goodness and faithfulness of God. And Psalm 23, the more I've got into it the past couple of weeks, been preparing for this series, can I tell you, it is so rich. It is so relevant for what we are going through today. So I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you if you would locate an outline. Now, you can find the outline, and it's not a paper outline, but it is a digital outline. You can find the outline on our app. Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, it's so simple, it's so easy. You see a QR code coming up on screen. Your online host can tell you to find that outline. And here in this room, in the back seat backs in front of you, there's also the QR code there and that cardboard insert there in your seat backs there. And look, I encourage you to download the app. There's so many great things on the app. We communicate often to you through the app. But also there's an outline on the app, and you can type in the answers as we go through. If you want, you can sit back and listen. The outline's there in English. The outline is also there in Espanol. And so you might want to locate that, just download that, the Miami Vineyard app. So Psalm 23, this psalm begins like this. In fact, can we read this out loud together? Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, I couldn't hear the online audience, so let me hear it from you guys again. Ready? Let's say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, think about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And we could talk about this verse, this one verse for days, but it's going to have to be just one message. You're going to have to suffice. But look, we could all tell stories about God's provision in our lives. So let me start with those of you joining me online. If there's ever been a time in your life where you have seen God provide, I want you to put in the chat, God has provided. God has provided. And now I'm going to talk to you in person, audience today, okay? In person, Vineyard family. Look, if there has ever been a time in your life where you have seen God provide in some way, in some shape, in some form, if there's ever been a time where you have seen God provide for you in your life, let me see your hands. Come on, look at this place. Look around. God has, let's give God a round of applause. God has provided. Now why? Why does God provide? Because he is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I realize most of you don't have sheep in your backyard. And you might have some chickens, but you probably don't have sheep. But back in the time that this psalm was written, everybody kind of had sheep in the backyard. So people knew what this whole shepherd thing was about. Now some of you know that before I moved to Miami, I actually grew up for my growing up years was on a farm in just outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And from time to time, I'd like to show you a picture of our farm. So here's the farm I grew up on, just outside of Green Bay. And that picture was taken in the summertime, obviously, because it doesn't look like that now. It's January. It's freezing up there. But so I was raised on this farm. And we had cows, but we also had a few sheep. And shepherds are the one who take care of the sheep. But do you realize that sheep are incredibly defenseless animals? Think about the animal world, okay? Animals, they've got a lot of defense mechanisms. They got horns. They've got antlers. They've got teeth. They've got claws. But sheep don't have any of that. They've got nothing. Here's the only defense mechanism sheep have is this. Bah! And that's not very scary. That's all they got. Think about cats can claw you to death. Stupid cats. Dogs can bite. I mean, almost every animal has got defense, some way they can defend themselves. But sheep have got nothing. They're not fast. They don't have claws. They don't have teeth. They're not really that smart. And here's the thing about sheep. God often compares us to sheep. I'm just saying. I mean, sheep need a shepherd. And so that's what a shepherd does for the sheep. You know what a shepherd does? Here's what a shepherd does for the sheep. A shepherd feeds, leads, and meets needs. That's what a shepherd does. Feeds, leads, and meets needs. Tweet that. Feeds, leads, and meets needs. That's what a shepherd does. And that's what a shepherd does for you and me. So, here's a question I want to pose today. If God is our shepherd, and if I lack nothing, and if God really does feed, lead, and meet our needs, okay? If all that's true, then here's my question. Why do we worry so much? You go, oh, Pastor Kevin, that's a really good question. If all that's true, then why do we find ourselves worrying so much? So, I want to push pause in Psalm 23 for just a moment. Psalm 23 is the most famous chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. So I want to push pause there for a moment, and I want to move from the most famous chapter in the Bible to the most famous speech in the Bible. The most famous speech in the Bible was given by Jesus. It was called the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And in this famous speech, Jesus addresses this whole issue of worry. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, Jesus says, so in light of all these things we've been talking about, Jesus said, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you more valuable to him than they are? And Jesus puts a little zinger at the end. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And Jesus is telling us what we're just reading in Psalm 23. He says, look, God is your shepherd. He's your shepherd. You lack nothing. He's going to feed you, take care. In fact, what Jesus is saying here is, God's got this. God's got this. God says, I've got the virus. I've got the vaccine. I've got this politically. I've got your health. I've got your finances. I've got your education. I've got your relationship. I've got your marriage. I've got your football team. Next year. And he says, I'm your shepherd. I'm your shepherd. You don't have to worry. I'm your shepherd. And see, here's the problem with worry. The more we worry about something, you know what happens to it? The bigger it gets. Right? You know that? The more you worry about something, the bigger it gets. It's like the thing we're worried about starts out like a grain of sand, and the more you worry about it, it turns into South Beach. I mean, it just becomes huge. The more you worry about it, the bigger it gets. And so, what Jesus is telling us in these verses, he says, look, worry. What does worry do for you? He says, it doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't accomplish anything for you. It doesn't solve anything for you. He says in verse 27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Obviously, the answer is no. And Jesus says, let's think about this for a moment. He says, worry can't make you taller, can't make you any shorter, can't make you smaller, can't make you thinner, faster. It can't get you any more hair. I wish. Actually, it'll cause you to lose your hair. It doesn't make you any richer. He says it just doesn't work. You know what worry is? Worry is like sitting in this rocking chair hoping to move. Right? That's what it's like. You're hoping to go someplace. It ain't going anywhere. But we spend all this time rocking. We're spending all this emotional energy, all this relational energy, all this physical energy, and we're worried. We're just trying to move. And let me tell you, this thing's not going anywhere. It doesn't solve anything. All our worry, we're spending all this energy thinking we're doing something, and we end up doing nothing because it doesn't go anywhere. So think of me for just a moment. Does worry change the past? No. Does worry control the future? No. So worry can't control the past. It can't change the past. It can't control the future. You know the only thing worry does? Is mess up today. That's all it does. Worry just messes up our world today. It can't accomplish anything. In fact, look what this next verse says in your outlines. It says, worry weighs us down. Anybody want to give testimony to that one? Folks, these bodies, physically, and studies have been done about this, lots and lots of studies. These bodies, our physical bodies are not designed to be worrying all the time. And this is where so much of our stress comes from. And it comes from, this is why we got back aches and neck aches and stomach issues and insomnia. You know why? Because we are not made to internalize worry. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm worried sick? You ever said that? Ever heard anybody say that? Yeah. And you know what? It's true. People literally are worried sick. High blood pressure, all kinds of things, even some forms of cancer, because people worry themselves to death. And God didn't create us to worry. Notice again the words of Jesus. He says, this is why I tell you. He said, the first words, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Why? Because God's got this. If he's our shepherd, he's got this. He leads, he feeds. He meets needs. He leads, he feeds, he meets needs. That's what Jesus does. He says, I got this. But here's the deal. Every time we begin to doubt that God's got this, this is what gets us into trouble. Every time we begin to doubt God, does God really got this? Because there's a lot of craziness going on. Does God really got this? Every time we begin to doubt God, it gets into trouble. You might remember the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden. When they got into trouble was that when they began to doubt God. The devil came along and whispered to them in their ear, did God really say? And they began to doubt God. And that was the beginning of the fall. Every time we begin to doubt God is when we begin to start worrying and start messing up because God's got this. But this, folks, now look, we're all going to have doubts from time to time. All of us. That's why God gave us this book. Because when we doubt, we got something we can count on. The words in this book are alive. And so we can count on the words in this book. But you know what else God gave us? Because we're all going to have doubts from time to time. You know what else God gave us? God gave us each other. To encourage each other. To pick one another up when we need to be picked up. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas together. Here in this room, we had services in this room. We had services out in our parking lot. We had drive-in services, Christmas Eve, drive-in services on the parking lot. They were so cool. We had services online. But Christmas Eve, here in this place, lots of people out there in the lobby coming to Christmas Eve services. I saw somebody I knew. I saw a friend. This is a grown man. And he begins to tell me, and this guy has not had an easy year. And it wasn't COVID and it wasn't politics. It was just his whole world was just kind of upside down. And he looked at me. Now, look, there's people all over the place. Everybody's in a mask. He's in a mask. God, a grown man. He's got tears coming down his face. He looked at me. He said, Pastor Kevin, tell me again. Does God got this? And I said, yes, God's got this. And this guy, from being a Christ follower for years, he just, we all find ourselves from time to time in a place of uncertainty, in a place of craziness, and we wonder, does God got this? And we need people around us to remind us that God's got this. And I looked at him and I told him, God's got this. And God does have this. The Lord is my shepherd. God's got this. And folks, this is what, we need each other. This is why we need each other. We're better together. We're better together. We need each other. And so I want to invite you here to something this new year. In fact, let me step it up a notch. I want to go from past invite to challenge you. I want to challenge you with something this new year. I want to challenge you to join what we call here small groups. What's a small group? A small group is a group of 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 10 people who meet together maybe once a week, maybe every other week, just to talk about life, talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, talk about each other, and you share your lives together. Because folks, we need each other. We are better together. We need each other. Because we're going to go through tough times and I need you to pray for me and I need to pray for you. And we got all this stuff that has to happen back and forth to each other. And so I want to invite you even this week. And now, small groups start up again in February. So we got a couple, 3 weeks to kind of like get into one and plug into one and say, I want to be a part of one. So here's how we do that. If you're in this room today, we have what we're calling a small group expo. Well, you might have seen the tables in the lobby. So after the service today, I want to encourage you to go out to the lobby. Check out the tables, find a small group, but here's how you can do this. I talked earlier about the app, right? So on the app, you locate the app. The very top of the app, it says, sign up for a small group. You just touch that app, and right there it goes to our website, and it's a listing of all the groups on the website. Now, some groups are meeting on Zoom. Because of COVID and because of that, look, you can meet with a group on Zoom. You can have a group of 3, 4, 5, 6 people on Zoom and talk to each other and share your lives and pray for each other. We've been on Zoom now for months and months and months. It works fantastic. Some groups meet in person, socially distanced, wearing masks, on campus, off campus. They meet at different nights, different times. So I just want to encourage you, plug into a small group this year. We need it. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And so, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What I want to do quickly is I want to give you 3 practical ways that can help us leave worry behind. Okay? Because we're all wrestling with this from time to time. All of us. Practical ways that we can leave worry behind. If you're taking notes, here we go. If you're not taking notes, here we go. Here we go. Here's number 1. How to leave worry behind. First, number 1. Every day, ask God to be my shepherd every day. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. And I want to give you all, I want to give you a New Year's resolution, right? Here's a New Year's resolution you can keep. Because, listen, it's already, what is it today? January 10th? I'm not going to ask how many of you already broken your New Year's resolutions, okay? Now look, 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 I want to give you a New Year's resolution you can keep. Here it is. Every day, when you wake up, here's the first thing you're going to say: the Lord is my shepherd. Say that with me, please. Ready? Out loud. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. Every day you wake up. Those are your first words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And you give all your worries to God. Imagine if you'd wake up like that every day and give all your worries to God. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine that I'm out walking along a road here in South Florida. Let's say it's US 1. I'm carrying this backpack. I'm just walking along. You drive up along US 1. You look over. You're going, is that Pastor Kevin? And you go, hey, Pastor Kevin, you want a ride? And I said, thanks. And I jump in your car. I'm in the passenger seat. We're both in a mask. It's COVID. And so we're driving along. 5 minutes into the ride, you look over at me, and I'm still carrying the backpack on my back. And you're going, hey, Pastor Kevin, why don't you toss the backpack in the back seat? And I go, no, 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 no. It's enough that you've given me a ride. I'll carry the backpack. And you're going, what is the matter with Pastor Kevin? Like, dude, just toss it in the back seat. But see, we do this with God all the time. God says, I want to carry your load. I want to carry your worries. No, 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 God. It's enough that you died on a cross for me. I'll take my worries. And God says, what are you doing? I'm your good shepherd. He says, get rid of the backpack. Now, some of you right now are worried about what's in that backpack. Toss the backpack. Get rid of the backpack. I am your good shepherd. I got this. You don't got to carry those worries around. God's got this. You see, but we do this with God all the time. We got to like, so look, look, look. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Let me tell you how this plays out in our life practically. So we wake up in the morning, New Year's resolution, the Lord is my shepherd. But all day long, first, let me show you this plays out practically. You're heading into a meeting. Maybe it's a Zoom call, and you're just pretty nervous about that Zoom call because you're not quite sure how that Zoom call is going to go. And you begin to worry, and you say these words, the Lord is my shepherd. You get a call from your child's teacher, and you're thinking that it's probably not going to be a good phone call. And you're thinking, the Lord is my shepherd. You got a major decision to make, and you feel yourself getting stressed. You can just feel it because of this big decision you got to make. And you say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. You got a big project due at school, at work. You feel the tension coming on. Say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. You got to have a difficult conversation with somebody. Maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a roommate, maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a boss. And you can just feel the nervousness. You feel the tension. You feel the worry. Say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. It's the weekend. And it seems every friend you have is with their significant other. And you are home alone again. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. It's time to pay the bills. You're not sure there's enough. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is. And we give all our worries, we give it all to God, because the Lord is my shepherd. I love this verse from Psalm 28. Look what it says. Come save us and bless us, O Lord. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. Wow. That's a great verse to put on your lock screen on your phone. So number one says this, practically, every day, ask God to be my shepherd. That's number one. Here's number two. Give God first place in every area of my life. First place in every area of my life. Because here's the deal. Whatever area that we have going on in our life that we have not put God first in, that's what we're worried about. Every area of your life that you have not put God first in, that's the area we worry about. You know, and there's one area that we worry about more than any other area. And it's not COVID, it's not the vaccine, it's not politics. There's one thing that we worry about more than any other thing. You know what it is? Finances. Finances. No matter the year, no matter the time, no matter what's happening in our world, we're always worried about finances. And so, here's what God says. God says, look, I got this. God says, I got this. But here's what God asks of us, okay? First of all, here's what we got to know. First of all, God owns it all. You realize this, that every single penny you have is a gift from God to you. You go, no, it ain't. I work for this. Yeah? Who gave you the mind to think with? Who gave you every beat of your heart? Who gave you every breath you're taking? Who gave you the ability and the gifts and the talents you have? God did. God did. So every penny we earn is a gift from God. So it all belongs to God, right? It all belongs to God. So here's what God says. God says, I want you to trust me with your money. And God says, I want you to give back to me the first part. I want you to give back to me the first 10%. Give it back to me. If you do that, God says, I'm going to bless your money in ways, your life in ways that you cannot imagine. But we got to trust God. We got to give that first part to him. 34 years ago, when I married my wife, we got married when I was one. We made the decision that no matter what happens in our world, we are going to give that first part back to God. Now, we've had some good years, and we've had some not so good years. We've had some challenging years. But every year, every paycheck, every time any money came our way, we gave that first 10% back to God. And I'm telling you, God has blessed our life. And God has blessed so many other people's lives in this room and joining me online. God has blessed your life. But we got to honor God. We've got to honor God with that first 10%. So here's another New Year's resolution. In 2021, I'm going to give God back that first 10%. And you just see what happens in your life. Now, we also have to learn to manage the rest. And the problem with this, nobody ever gives us any finance classes. And so we just find ourselves like struggling financially, like with debt and what to spend it on and what not to spend it on, what to invest it in, what not to invest it in. So we've got a class I want to turn you on to. It's called Financial Peace University. We abbreviated FPU. And I don't have a long time to get into the class. I just highly recommend the class. It has transformed thousands of people's lives around the world. FPU, Financial Peace University. If you'd like some more information about FPU, you can text the letters FPU to the number you see coming up on screen. Just text in the letters FPU, and somebody's going to help you with some information, more information about that FPU. And finally, here's the last thing. So every day, ask God to be my shepherd. Number two, give God first place in every area of my life. And number three, here's number three. Leaving worry behind, here's number three. Trust God one day at a time. Not 1 week at a time, not 1 month at a time, one day at a time. Look what Jesus said. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get all worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Now, folks, there is no lack of hard things coming up in our world right now. We think about COVID. We think about a vaccine. We think about another strain of COVID you've been hearing about. We think about the events that are happening politically in our nation and other events around the world. That there's no lack of hard things happening right now. But God says, I got this. God says, remember I've got this. Remember, I am your shepherd. Remember, remember, remember. So I want us to do something right now together to help us to remember. I want us to take communion together right now. And so here in this room, when you walked in the doors, you might have been able to pick up one of these little cups of juice. And if for any reason you didn't get one of these and you'd like to have one, just put a hand up in the air. Don't be shy. There's some people right now going to be, okay, they just going to, you can just take one off the thing. So we're, you know, we're not, it's COVID. We understand the COVID. We're COVID communion. We're friendly with this. Online, joining us online, please feel free to grab something, grab some bread, grab a cracker, grab some juice, grab some water, drink your coffee, whatever. The elements aren't important. They just symbolize Jesus and what we're doing with how remembering Jesus today. So just keep your hand up. They're still coming. So let me how you use this. Take this clear plastic and pull it back and remove the wafer. Just hold on to the wafer. Don't take it yet. And then the next one's a little tougher. This is the purple one. Take the purple one, pull it back and expose that juice. Don't take it yet. Don't take it yet. We're going to take it here together in a moment. So communion, and even you might be kind of new here today. You might be wondering, like, can I take communion together with you? Yes, absolutely. If you want to say today, the Lord is my shepherd, please take communion with us today, online, wherever you're watching us from in the world. Take communion with us today. So, you know what communion is? Communion is an opportunity to remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. That no matter what hard times may be happening, do this in remembrance of me. Do you realize this? That right after Jesus instituted communion with his closest followers, just 2 hours later, Jesus gets arrested. Talk about hard things. A half next day later, he gets murdered and crucified on a cross, and he's dead on a cross. You talk about hard things happening. But Jesus, right before that, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me so we would remember. Remember that no matter what hard things are happening, God's got this. I got to remember. I got to remember. And I want to remind us of one other thing here to remember today, and that's this. Remember whose I am. That I am a child of God. That I am, and you are, if you've opened your heart to Jesus, you are a Christian. You are a Christian. You are a child of God first. You are a Christian first. Before you're a Democrat, before you're a Republican, before you are independent, before you are none of the above or all the above, you are first a Christian. First a Christian. First a Christian. First a Christian. I know it's hard to clap for that when you got communion in your hands. I get that. First a Christian. Now here's the deal with being a Christian. A Christian means that we act like Jesus. In the name Christian is Christian. Christian. It means Christ-like. Christ-like. It means we need to act like Christ. And here's the thing about being a Christian. Christians always act loving. There is never a time when Christians can opt out of acting loving. We always act loving. We say loving words. We do loving things. We post on social media in love. We always act loving. Even when people come against us and say things against us and say things, we act loving. Now look. This doesn't mean that Christians all have the same opinion. We don't have the same opinion. I've been married to my wife for 34 years. We don't have the same opinion about many things. It does not mean that we all have the same opinion, but it means that we can say our opinions. We can post our opinions, but we always post our opinions in love because that's what Christians do. You can disagree, but you can disagree in love. But we have Christians cursing each other out online because they disagree with one another. We have people in our church family posting horrible things to one another. This can't be. We are Christians. 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 We're Christians first. We're Christians first. From time to time when my kids, I got five kids. From time to time when my kids would get like in a little fight with each other, right? I'd bring them to me. I'd do this all the time. Whether it's two of them fighting or three of them fighting. And whether they were 5 and 6 or whether they were 15 and 16 or 21 or 22, it didn't matter. I'd bring them to me. I said, what's your last name? Fisher. What's your last name? Fisher. What's your last name? Fisher. I said, what's that mean? And they knew what it meant. And they had to say it. I said, what's it mean? They said, we're in the same family. And I said, now act like it. We're in the same family. We're Christians. We're Christians. We're Christians first. Before we're anything else, we're Christians first. We are part of the kingdom of God before we are part of any kingdom on earth. We are Christians first. And communion says, let's remember this. Let's remember who we are. So let's remember together. Let's remember who we are. So on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took a loaf of bread. He broke it. He said, this represents my body, which is shed for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this right now in remembrance of him. After he took the bread, he took a glass of wine. He said, take this and drink this. This represents my blood, which is going to be shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, which is awesome. But he also said, it's a new covenant, which means it's a whole new way of living. A whole new way of living. It means we get to live in a new way. We get to live now by the power and the presence of the resurrected Christ living in us. See, there is no way I can be loving all the time. There's no way I can be loving all the time. There's no way you can be loving all the time. There's only one way we can be loving all the time, and that is when the power of the resurrected Christ is living in us and flows through us. That's the only way we can be loving all the time. That's what this is all about. It's the power of the living God living in us so we can be loving like Jesus. Can I tell you? There is a world out there watching. Christians. To see if we're behaving differently than anybody else. The world is looking for hope. The world is looking for an answer. The world is looking, is there something different out there? Is other people out there who behave differently, who act differently? Is there a group of people out there who behave like this? The answer is yes, we do. We are Christians. They're looking for hope. They're looking for an answer. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is the answer. And we are Christ-like. We are Christian. Christian. That's us. But don't do it on your own power. Don't even attempt this. Do not attempt this at home. You can only do this by the power of Jesus Christ living in us. Let's take this together. Let's remember Jesus. And would you pray with me for just a moment? Would you pray with me? And as we pray together, God, I thank you that you are our shepherd, that you got this. And I know this is an extremely difficult time for many of us politically. And with this pandemic, and with all the things we got going on in our own life, it's a crazy, crazy time. But God, you got this. You are still on the throne. Your kingdom reigns. Your kingdom reigns. Your kingdom reigns. And God, we tell you today that we put our hope and our trust in you. And can I just say that there's never been a time where you have made this commitment to say, I'm going to put my hope and my trust in Jesus. Then why not today? Why not right here, right now? Whether you're in this room or joining me online, right here, right now. Just follow me in this simple prayer, just inside. I'm going to pray it out loud. You just pray it inside. Say, Jesus, today, I want to follow you. I want you to be my shepherd. I place all my hope and all my trust in you. I hold nothing back. I place all my hope and all my trust in you. I believe you are the hope of the world. I believe you are the Savior of the world. And I believe you are my Savior. Jesus, today, I trust in you. And I just want to pray for all of us in this room and every one of you watching online right now. Because we all got crazy stuff happening in our lives. I bless you right now with the peace of God. I bless you with the hope of God. I bless you with the presence of the living God. God's got this. He's got this. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.